You're listening to Speak Loud, resilient stories of triumph and hope, helping you to turn your past into fuel for your best future. Here's your host, founder of the 501c3 Share, providing resource and support for trauma victims, and a survivor herself, Tiffany Barnes.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Speak Loud podcast. As always, I'm your host, Tiffany Barnes, and thank you for joining me here today. I've got a lovely guest in store for you guys. She comes from a land far and wide, Grand Rapids, Michigan. I would say she's probably my first guest in Michigan. I'll have to go back and look, like I was telling her, but her name is Donna Tashjian. Did I say it right?
Yes, Tashjian.
Tashjian. I said Tosh. Tashjian. I already went over this in the beginning and I still said that. She is the founder of Vibrant Living International, which is a nonprofit organization. She's also a life mastery coach, an ordained minister, podcaster, and author. She helps bring accelerated transformation to people across the world. Her passion is to help you reach your full potential. She specializes in helping you turn your baggage into luggage so you can live the life of your dreams using and developing your spiritual intelligence. Donna has been speaking and coaching for over 25 years, and she has developed powerful programs and workshops to help you through life's transitions and pain to achieve your goals or dreams. She also produces a podcast called You Are Designed for Greatness and has written 4 books. Her clients say she has a knack for turning fear into excitement and exposing lies so the truth can shine through. Without further ado, please welcome the lovely Donna Tashjian.
Thank you, Tiffany.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that intro.
You're welcome. Sorry for butchering your last name there for a minute. So tell me.
It's not the first time.
No, I figured. Yeah. Well, again, I apologize for that. But tell me, what are you here to speak loud about?
I am here to speak loud about helping people to live vibrantly.
I love that. I love that word vibrant. When you were kind of choosing what you should call your organization, what made you stick with that particular word? Is there any reasoning behind it? Or you're just like, you know what? I want to help people shine and be vibrant and bright.
Word that I was originally, that someone spoke about me when I didn't feel like it, was the word vivacious. Oh. I wasn't even sure what vivacious meant. And they was speaking in, you know, looking for the gold in people when you speak things that they don't see themselves. And this is what someone said to me. And so I'm like, you know, kind of made a face. I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I'm thinking, you know, so I'm like, I need to go home and look it up. And I wrote out the definition of what, in all the synonyms of what vivacious meant. And I began to say that to myself every day, that Donna is. And one of the synonyms is vibrant. And so that's where it came from, is because I'm like, nobody else is going to understand what vivacious is either if I call it that. So that's how Vibrant Living came from.
I love that. Okay. So Vibrant Living International is a nonprofit organization. What is the focus?
The mission statement is to help people to rise above the pain and disappointment that life can bring so that they can live life of their dreams with confidence and ease.
Okay. Love that. And how long has this been going on?
Vibrant Living started about 10 years ago.
Okay. And how many lives have you affected? Do you know? Do you have a number on that?
I don't have a number.
Okay.
I used to say hundreds and now it's thousands. So I'm not sure the actual number.
Okay. Got it. Awesome. So as far as your life coaching that you're doing as well, what kind of made you get into that? What was your aha or your epiphany of, hey, I want to be a life coach for people?
Well, I have been coaching outside of Vibrant Living for over 25 years. So it is something that, except when I was doing it in the beginning, we didn't call it coaching. Mm. It would have been called mentoring Those kind of, so I have my youngest daughter who's in her 30s says, Mom, as long as I can remember, there were women sitting on the couch crying and you were helping them. Mm. So it's something that I have always been a part of, but I didn't do it as a business. It was in different organizations I was part of, different things I was doing in my life. So I had an aha moment 10 years ago when Vibrant Living started and said, what do I really love? What do you feel the most alive? What feels like your sweet spot? It's another way, your area of genius. What is it? And I'm like, how can I do that and make a living and affect more people's lives? So that's how I got in. That's how Vibrant Living began.
Love that. And you're also a podcaster. And your podcast is You Were Designed for Greatness. I love that name, or that title rather. So how many episodes in are you, and what made you decide to do that as well as another platform for people?
I'm at 102, I think, something like that. And I am the month that we're recording this in, I am starting my fifth year.
That's so wonderful. So, I mean, I'm sure just as I've started this podcast, I've started it as a resource for people to find some hope in their day, right? And I'm sure that's kind of what you've done too with You Were Designed for Greatness. Now, you're also an author. I'm aspiring to be an author. I will be published in January in a book that I've been writing since I was 18. And I'm looking at your bio thinking, 4 books? How in the world did you accomplish this 4 times? Tell me more about your books and, what's the premise behind those?
The books are not large books, and I have left them as ebooks because of the availability to making them available as a resource to more people. Yeah. The one that's available for free on my website is called An Umbrella on a Sunny Day. And the title comes from when we have had a painful past, trauma, abuse, those kind of things in our life, we're usually waiting for the other shoe to drop. So imagine it's sunny in your life and you're looking around going, it's going well. I wonder what's going to happen. And you're expecting or anticipating there got to be something bad around the corner, because that's usually what happens to me. So you don't really enjoy the sunshine. You're carrying your umbrella expecting rain. And so in the book, I share 4 keys to enjoy the sunshine. I share my own personal story, which I'll probably share some of today, and how, and other women's stories are in the book too, of how they enjoy the sunshine. So
would you mind sharing a couple of those with us out of the four keys to sunshine? Obviously, we want people to read the book as well, but give us a little taste if you would.
I'm trying to remember what I wrote specifically in the book. I wrote it 2 years ago. So what were one of the, oh, I remember one is we often people like myself who have had some type of trauma in their past, which I think is the majority of people that are listening. We have a tendency to wear masks. Yes. And we feel like we are lonely. You know, we're lonely, but I still wear a mask because I'm not sure I can trust you. And so that in itself, how that prevents us from having good, healthy relationships. But how do we let go of the mask? How do we begin to trust ourselves even? Because part of the mask for me was trusting my own decisions. And, you know, not only just other people, but trusting myself. And so how do we let go of that mask that if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me kind of feeling? So that's one of the things that I get into in the book.
How would you say we let go of the mask? That's a very good point. A lot of people who've been through trauma do put on that mask. I know personally, I've always been a very bubbly, vivacious person, using your word there. People, when they get to know my story, they're like, no way have you been through that. No way. Cause like I have that mask of, I'm going to put on this, like, I'm so happy, everything's fine. Where on the inside, I might be like dying, right? Not really dying, but you know, really hurting inside, really hurting. Right. And so how have you found in your journey to be able to kind of put that mask aside and say, here's who I really am?
a big beginning of any of it is changing the thoughts that you feel about yourself. And when we have been hurt, most we have a tendency not to feel unlovable. Mm-hmm. And beginning to deal with the thoughts that you're thinking. This isn't reading one book and your mask is gone kind of a thing. This is an ongoing process, but we all have a different way of masking how we're really feeling, because no one knew what I was going through either. I looked like I had it all together. I never failed. That's because I wasn't going to do anything that was risky.
Yeah.
And so there was no chance of failure because failure was like death. Mm-hmm. And so learning to be able to change the words that you're speaking. So when I'm having a conversation with a person, is noticing that the words that they speak and how can we begin to shift them so they believe something different about themselves, because it starts with the beliefs, the thoughts, the self-talk. It isn't that you can just take off your mask. And so it is a process that I walk people through in my Turn Your Baggage into Luggage program.
I love that, by the way, Turn Your Baggage into Luggage. I love that. So tell me a little bit more about your baggage. It sounds like you've been through some trauma in your life. Obviously, you want to keep it more surface level. Don't want to trigger anybody that may be listening, but tell us more about that.
To gloss over it. If you will.
Good word.
Yes. At the age of 14, someone that was close to our family hurt me and I became pregnant. Mm. So at 15, I had a little girl and I am a grandmother now. So it was a few decades ago and in that time frame, a teenage pregnancy under any circumstances was judged. So there was a huge amount of shame, resentment, anger, fear, absolute terror of everything and failing as a mother when you can't even figure out your own life. You haven't even started to. You're 15.
Sure. Yeah.
So a whole lot to overcome and figure out how to rise above that.
So who was in your support network at that time when this all happened? Obviously lots of fear. I mean, that's a whole life-changing experience, but who was there for you in your circle to kind of help you realize that you could do this and raise your daughter correctly, you know, so that she had a loving mother?
My parents, I lived with my parents, and that was a positive and negative associated with that. But I had a place to stay and I had, you know, until I could get out on my own. So I graduated high school before I was 17. And that was what we would call today homeschooling, before homeschooling was really that much of a thing. Mm-hmm. This is pre-internet, guys. So for those of you, this is pre-internet. So what they did is mail me my textbooks, mail me my test, mail me my homework. I did it, mailed it back in the mail. They graded it and returned it.
Got it.
So that was the way because I wasn't in public, couldn't go to public school. So I finished before I was 17. I was working full time before I was 18 and I had my own apartment by then. So wow. There was a whole lot of moving and shaking to be able to books. I was a big reader. That was the biggest influence. And there were key people along the way that spoke hope.
Sure.
For me.
Yes. And it sounds like the guy was never in the relationship with you, obviously, because he hurt you, but he was never in your daughter's life in any capacity.
No.
So you're raising your daughter on your own and you're such so young. I mean, you had to grow up so quickly. What advice would you have for somebody who may be in your same shoes? You know, they got pregnant very young. They're doing this on their own. You know, that can be very scary. Looking back, knowing what you know now, what advice would you have for that person?
I would change the words that I was saying to myself, what I was really believing. Mm-hmm. And I would really look for, there is so many more resources available today than at least my perception was available for me at the time. But get support. Don't do it alone. There is so many of us women who have had something happen to us that there's resources that are available. So get support, get help would be a big, and how you're talking to yourself.
Do you have a lot of your clientele come to you who've been through a lot of trauma like you have growing up?
Yes.
And what advice do you give them? And obviously the words are very important because those are, that's the tape that's playing in your head, mm-hmm. right? Your subconscious constantly telling you something. But what advice do you have for them? You know, what are some of your teachings rather as a life mm-hmm. coach to help these women?
Well, some of the, I have four steps that I briefly focus on to be able to turn your baggage into luggage. And so I'd like to share.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Baggage thinking is all of the emotions I was talking about. It's the low self-esteem, the unworthiness, the anger, the resentment. Somebody needs to pay. Yeah, that one. Vengeance. All of those kind of emotions is baggage thinking. They're legitimate. It's they're true. And yes, all of those are feelings that are real and a lot of fear. Luggage thinking, on the other hand, is I can't change what happened to me. It's part of me. But I am going to use this to grow and to become the best me I can be. If you could imagine that your life is a book, let this be a chapter, a paragraph, a page, but not your whole life. And when I was 15, I thought my whole life was ruined. That everything was going to never, it would never. You feel in the middle of it, it's the end of the world. But I've lived the decades past it, and I'm here to tell people that it doesn't have to be unless you let it. So the first step is looking for the gift in the circumstances, in the pain. What can I learn? What can I grow? How can I come better? When you're first in the middle of it, if somebody had told me that, I'm like, yeah, right. But as you begin to look for it, it changes your perspective. If you can imagine, I'm looking at my feet, downtrodden, angry, all of those kind of emotions. But I lift my eyes and say, this isn't forever. And where's the gift in this? How can I learn? How can I grow? How can I become even better? And in my mind at that time was, I'm going to prove all those naysayers, all those people who said what they said about me, wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the biggest first steps is to begin to look for what can I learn? Where's the gift in this? I call it gifts wrapped in sandpaper. They're not in pretty bows.
I like that.
They don't. And so that's number one.
I love that. Kind of recognizing the light within the darkness is kind of what you're saying too, you know? excuse me, not using that past as a crutch, but as a stepping stone to the future. So yeah. Can you enlighten us with another step out of the four? Maybe step two?
Yeah. The step two was what I mixed it kind of in there was about realizing this doesn't have to be a chat. This can be a chapter in your book. So realizing it's only part of your story and that you're the writer of your story. You get to decide how it turns out. You get to decide how the kind of person you want to be. And I could have been that super angry, scared, resentful woman for the rest of my life.
Sure.
If I chose, and it's learning to make those little choices of who you want to be, despite of whatever may have occurred in your life. So that's number two.
What's number three? You going to give us all four?
I am going to give you all four. Number three is compassion or forgiveness. Yes, I said that nasty word, forgiveness.
That can be a tough one for people overcoming trauma, for sure.
The biggest thing is understanding what forgiveness really is Because when you understand what it is and what it is not, it isn't really as hard as we think it is. It's when there is misunderstanding about what it is. For example, some people feel like, well, if I forgive, they're going to get away with it. If I forgive, it means they what they did was okay.
Right.
If I forgive, it means I have to trust them again. And I have to be all understanding and, you know, all those things. It doesn't mean any of those things. And a lot of times that's what we feel like. Forgiveness is about me. It's not about them. It's about who I want to become, the person I want to be. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to get sick or die.
Yeah.
And I am the one drinking the poison. And so when I choose to forgive, I release the power that that person, incident, thing, whatever it may be, over my life. I take back my power and I get to choose who I want to be.
I love that. And then step four, finally.
Step four is get support. There is tons of resources that are available. Get a coach, get someone. The reason why I make this so important is because when we have been injured, our immediate response is to isolate. We may isolate in a crowd, but with our walls, but we tend to isolate. And even when I very first began to share my story, it was hard. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But it was super hard. And we isolate and we're shamed and we're embarrassed and all of the things that go along with it. And learning to be able to use, we DIY it. I need to figure this out on my own. I need to pull up my bootstraps. You know, all of those words that we use. Why? Why do we do it the hard way? Get someone who's walked the path that can walk with you and show you how to do it in a much easier way. That's one of the main things my clients say is, I thought this was going to be hard. Now, is it painful sometimes to heal? Yes, but it doesn't have to be hard.
Right. I love what you've said there. I mimic these words as well, just that our story, it doesn't have to be the whole story, right? But not only that, it's not always rainbows and roses. The overcoming of it is not rainbows and roses. I mean, I'm 40 years old and I'm still going through stuff, you know, to heal what happened to me at 10 years old or 4 years old or 5 years old. So I love that you've said that, you know, kind of be delicate with yourself or not so hard on yourself, because you're not going to just read a book. You're not just going to hear one podcast and your mask is gone, or you're going to be healed, or, you know, it's a journey. It's a journey that you have to be willing to take, but also be willing to kind of face that pain head on. Right. And that takes courage. That definitely takes some courage. So what makes you feel the most empowered in what you do?
Well, I am a woman of faith. You mentioned I'm a minister. So knowing that, watching people lives transform and them become who they really were all along, when the injuries are healed and they're able to move forward, healing and forgiveness, the analogy that I received and share is it's like an onion. So I peel the onion and it's a hot one. So I cry and I have forgiven and healed as much as I can at that stage in my life, at that level. And a little while down the road, another layer, and I cry again. And it is part of strength. The only way it is, I cry easily. I am very passionate about things that I love. And I said to someone who was making fun of me that I was crying, I said, do never mistake these tears for weakness.
Right.
Because the tears are a sign that I am extremely passionate and feel strongly about whatever it is. And so don't mistake. They didn't ever tease me again because of the look in my eye and for, you know, so but learning learning that it is a process and to give yourself permission. I had to ask myself about, I'm in my 50s and okay. I had myself about 5 years ago or so, maybe it was longer than that. I had something happen that did some type of triggering for me. And I'm getting mad going, it's been 40 something years. You know, I'm like, this shouldn't be still happening with me. Right. And as soon as I got past that, I'm like, okay, I'm going for a new level of even deeper healing and giving myself that grace and permission to get even stronger, to get even more free, to heal the little girl who it was injured, and to be able to do that. So be nice to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Allow it to be a journey of you getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And it actually is fun and amazing when we can look at it that way.
I love what you've said there. That's beautifully said. Okay, so you've written these other four books. You talked about the one with the umbrella and sunshine. What were the other three? I'm putting you on the spot.
You are. One is called From Frazzled to Freedom.
Okay.
And that is also available on my website. It's another free book. And it is, how do we go from that feeling of frazzled, like all tied up in knots, mm-hmm. to freedom? The image on the book is a daisy. It's going from that knot to a daisy. So that's the imagery on the book. And the very first book, I am slipping on the name. It was super little. It was about 10 years ago. So I'm forgetting that one right now. The other book that's available for sale is one of my favorite. It is called The Key to Transform Your Life. And that is what the power of words are. I've alluded to that several times today.
Right.
And it is a book, The Power of Words. And then it gives you 30 days of affirmation to utilize yourself, because that's one of the hardest things is, well, what do I do? Just go look in the mirror and go, you are beautiful. You are kind. I love you. And you're like, you can tell by my voice when I say that, I'm like, I don't believe any of this.
Yeah.
And so every day it gives you 6 or 7 new things to say. And so it's not, it's your, the creativity part of what do I say today is over. It's all there for you. And then you can pick out the ones that resonate the most with you, that speak to what you're going through. My affirmations and declarations change by what I'm going through. If I'm afraid of X, I create an affirmation about X.
Right.
And so that they're constantly in growth phase. It's constantly changing by what's going through. So that book can grow with you. It's an ebook. You can have it on your phone and look at the different declarations for yourself. So that is available too on my website.
Speaking of, what modalities are you using currently to continue to be healed? Do you do yoga? Do you meditate? Obviously, you're probably doing these affirmations for yourself. What do you use in your own healing?
All of that. And I've created meditations for others in my coaching programs. So, learning
like guided meditations.
Guided meditations, yes.
Love that.
So that's available to help people learn how to begin to have that stillness. Stillness for me and a lot of the women that I've worked with is feels scary. I can't be still. I have to keep moving because I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
And so learning to. So yes, I involve in nature. I involve prayer. It's a big part of what I do, and the books that I read on a regular basis. I do a lot of journaling.
Journaling was huge for me too in healing. I think people underestimate that because we're such in a digital age. You're just picking up a pen and putting it to paper. And for me, like I'd write down some of those negative thoughts, put them on the paper, crinkle it up and throw it away. And it was like I was throwing it out of my world. Right. Yep. And people kind of laugh at that. Like, that's cheesy. I'm like, hey, it worked for me. So, you know, it's
and they say it's cheesy because they haven't tried it. And it's so simple. They're like, that can't work. But it's very powerful to, I call it a brain dump. Get all the stuff out. Just get it out. And then we can look at some of it and go, well, that's not true.
Yeah.
And we don't even really recognize all of the negatives sometimes that we're thinking because it's been second nature.
I think sometimes too, not just the affirmations are important, but the gratitudes. I was doing a gratitude journal for a long time too. And, and it was so interesting. I'd sit there. I'm like, okay, I just got to write 10 things I'm grateful for. And I'd get stuck. You know, how can you not write 10 things? I've got my health. I can walk, you know, whatever it is you're going to put down, but I'd get stuck. And I think a lot of people do in that we don't, sometimes when we're in that victimhood, we don't see the forest for the trees, right? So we don't see the things we should be grateful for, even the most minute thing. Hey, I can breathe. I'm alive, you know, and I think that goes hand in hand too with the affirmation side of things. So
I give my clients gratitude journals for that reason. So yes,
love that.
Very important.
Yeah. Love that. So what's on the radar? What's some passion projects you've got in the works? You're working on some more books. You got some seminars coming up. What do you got going on in the future?
I have two things that are in the works. One of them is a masterclass called Unlocking Your Six Extraordinary Gifts. Mm. You're born with them. You're probably not aware. And so that is almost an hour long where I'm teaching with a workbook, and it's absolutely free. That's available. And that is an amazing watching people take that and watch them transform. It's just been awesome. So that is something that's available. And then in October, I will be doing a live event people can come to. The masterclass is recorded. You can watch it live at your convenience. I did that for the summer. So people's busy schedule, they could watch it when they wanted to, instead of having to attend the Zoom meeting at certain such time. But the other workshop I'm doing will be Turn Your Baggage into Luggage. And I do it every quarter. And so that will be a live event. And I go deeper into other keys to be able to turn our baggage into luggage, like the masks and other things that I go deeper into forgiveness and what that looks like. And during that, if I have volunteers, I walk people through it so people can see what it feels like to actually walk through that, watching someone else do it. They can do it themselves as well. So it's pretty powerful.
So let's say somebody's tuning in and they say, I want to get involved in all this. I want to, you know, get your books. I want to follow you. I want to possibly get into some coaching with you. How does one find you?
The best place to locate me is my website. And that is the letter I, vibrantliving.com. You can find a tab for the workshops. You can find a tab to schedule a chat with me. You can find the books under the resource tab. Everything's there. My podcast, everything is on the website. My name is also pretty unusual, and I'm on all the social media as well.
Okay, just under first and last name.
Just first and last name.
Got it. And we'll put that in the show notes, you guys. You can literally just click and it'll take you to the website and then also the social medias as well. So I want to ask a few more questions before we move on to 20 questions. The first question I have for you is, what do you know for sure?
That I'm loved.
Yes, I love that. Speaking of that, I love that. And then secondly, who is Donna?
Donna is a compassionate, persistent woman who loves people deeply.
Love it. And what are you hoping the audience is going to take away from today's conversation?
Hope.
Just hope. As it said, stories of triumph and hope. Here's the hope, you guys, right here. All right. So before we move on to 20 questions, any last words, any last thoughts?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. All right. If you will, choose a number between 1 and 20.
7.
What bucket list item do you most want to check off in the next 6 months?
I am looking to purchase a motorhome and to begin to plan some trips and just travel the US and see some things that I haven't seen before. being able to do that. I love that coaching is so mobile, so that we could do that while I continue to help people as well. So that's on my bucket list.
I am a realtor by day, and one of my clients just sold everything. I'm talking, if it couldn't fit in the motorhome, she didn't take it with her. Sold her house, everything. And she is literally living what you're talking about. She's traveling in a brand new motorhome, and she's using Starlink, which is, I think, that Elon Musk internet. And she's like, I love this. I can do this from anywhere. And I'm following her on Facebook, watching this, like, so jealous. I mean, how fun would that be? That's amazing. Have you been to all 50 states yet or no?
No, not all of them. Okay. I've done a lot of them, but that doesn't mean, you know, to me, that doesn't always count when you're just driving through.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You got to stop and like enjoy it, right?
You want to stop and really see it. And I don't want to give up my home. I want a place for my grandkids and kids to show up, and I don't have any intention again, but I want to do some trips and traveling like that. So, that's one of our goals.
How many grandbabies do you have?
7.
Wow. You look so young. Like,
I started young. I know. Remember.
Yeah, you did start young. Yes. How many children did you end up with? How many kids do you have?
3.
Okay. So, 3. And your family's just continuing to grow. I love that so much. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Donna. You've been such a lighthouse for people today, and I really appreciate you taking your time and being on here and letting me kind of interview you and what you're doing to share light in this world and continue to do so. For those of you tuning in, you know, this is a labor of love for me. This is not something where I'm putting in sponsorship ads or anything like that. I do this just because I too have been in your shoes, and I want this to be a resource for you out there that may be struggling, trying to find your resilience and your empowerment and your hope. And I hope that's what we did for you here today. So as always, you are worthy. You are enough, and keep on shining your light. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Speak Loud. If this message resonated with you, please feel free to share it with anyone you feel could use the support. To find out more information about SHARE, our movement, and to join the cause, please visit sharethemovement.org. Until next time.